Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Last weekend, we were celebrating Phoebe's birthday party at our house with a group of friends and family members. And about 15 minutes into the party, our friend Jillian came with her precious little baby boy, who's almost 5 months old now. And it's so remarkable when you're in a room full of people and a baby appears to feel the whole room magnetize to the baby. It is so precious to see, you know, other children moving over to see the baby, adults who haven't seen him in a while going to see how much he's grown, the silly faces and the goofy voices come out. It's just incredible to see how this precious, fragile little life can change the whole tenor of a party. The way that we care for the fragile and vulnerable beings of this world is one of the ways that Mother Teresa defined her ministry and her life's work, saying that we know more about a culture by the way it cares for the most fragile among us than we do by anything else. Not only because of the canonization of Mother Teresa this weekend, but recently in Krista Tippett's show On Being, Xavier Le Pichon, who is an amazing French geophysicist, talked about the essential quality of fragility in our human lives, and indeed, for the geophysicist, for the health and the life of our Earth. Le Pichon was the scientist who developed the theory of plate tectonics and the idea that the surface of our Earth and the continents are not static but are in constant flow and movement. And as he was working on this extraordinary revolution in our scientific knowledge and theories, he said he began to feel disconnected from people and from the world. So he took a leave of absence from his prominent scientific positions to move to Calcutta and work with Mother Teresa. So as he was learning more about the fragility and the vulnerability of the Earth, in the ways that things move and create earthquakes or volcanoes, he was also working among the most fragile and vulnerable people of Calcutta, and said that in one experience when he was feeding a dying child, who was very close to the end of his life, the feeling of empathy that rose from him, recognizing his obligation to care for this fragile child, but also, and perhaps more importantly, his own fragility, and how easy it is for us to act as if we are impervious to change. It is an absolute paradox to consider that the fragility of life is essential to who we are as human beings. As we think about what that might mean for us in our own personal lives, in our parish community, and also in our broader community, particularly in this political climate, Paul sets before us an extraordinary invitation and challenge in this shortest book of the Bible. You've heard the entire book of Philemon with the exception of two verses. So if you're curious, go read the two verses and wonder why the lectionary left them out. But in Paul's letter to Philemon, we hear him exhorting Philemon, cajoling him, emotionally manipulating him, we might say, to release his slave Onesimus when Onesimus comes back home. We don't know why Onesimus ran away, We don't know why he was separated from his master Philemon. But we know that somehow he meets Paul in prison, and in that space is converted to a life in Christ, and Paul treats him as a brother. Neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, but as a complete equal in Christ. My great New Testament professor at Virginia Seminary, Tony Lewis, was one of the first African-American men to get a PhD in New Testament from Yale Divinity School, and came from a very Southern background. And Professor Lewis described this letter in this way. He said, imagine that you are living in the South with your Southern grandmother, and she says to you, Lloyd, wouldn't you like to get me a glass of iced tea? He said, you know that that means, get it, now. All of Paul's exhorting, appealing to Philemon's better self, calling out his life as a Christian, this is all intended to bring him to a place that he can treat this vulnerable, fragile, runaway slave with compassion and openness, accepting him as a full brother when he comes home, and not punishing him or in any other way turning away from Onesimus. In our own lives, when we face fragility of any kind, unless it's a baby, or unless it's some kind of new life, a tender shoot in spring, or babies of any kind, fragility often brings into our hearts and into our minds a feeling of panic or fear as we face the uncertainty that the fragility brings. As we wonder about this tropical storm that's coming tomorrow, the fragility of our earth and of natural disasters is very much on my heart. And Paul invites and exhorts all of us to explore those places where we feel fragile, where our loved ones are in states of fragility or vulnerability, where different people in our society, where the poor, the homeless, the addicted, our Black brothers and sisters who continue to struggle for a life of full equality in our culture, where we feel fragile in the face of this political election that is unlike any that we have seen. Paul invites us to approach that fragility with openness, to approach those things that scare us or cause a sense of uncertainty or cause us maybe to lash out, to punish, to be angry, to judge. He exhorts us to call those places into our hearts with compassion. As Mother Teresa taught us, the way that we are able to absorb fragility into our own lives says so much more about us than how we do when we are strong and secure and stable. So I hope you will spend time with this tiny little book of the Bible that can feel so distant from us since we don't explicitly live in a culture of slaves and masters, but where we are so directly and in many of your lives every day challenged by fragility. May you feel the love and the tenderness of Paul calling forth the best of his friend Philemon, speaking into your hearts and into your lives. And may you be strengthened to see those things that are fragile, to have the courage to step forward and bear witness to that suffering, whatever it might be. And if you are called to respond, to find the resources and the internal strength to respond in some way. But most importantly, we are called to respond in love. And may all of those places of fragility call forth your greatest essence, your most loving heart. Amen.
Amen.